We are currently in the book of Mark. We've been going through. You have it, Mathen? You don't? Yeah. Thank you. There you go. We've been going through the book of Mark. We've been taking a look at pretty much walking through this gospel, walking through the footsteps of Jesus, being able to see really him kind of start his ministry and how it's kind of flourished in a bit. He's gained some popularity, and now he's starting to speak in all these parables. So go ahead, go to my next slide for me. That'd be great. Now, a parable, by definition, is a comparison. We get the word, Carolyn O'Neill, I know she's having some technical difficulty online. Your screen's frozen. I checked in with John and Telica. It's good, so you may have to just refresh your browser, and that's the way it's going to work. Sorry, just some housekeeping. So I checked in. We're doing okay, so I'm not sure what the issue is. Just refresh it. We should be good. Anyway, by comparison, it's comparing two different things. We get the word parallel, two lines going in the same direction, from the word parable. It kind of has the same root word. So in order to understand why Jesus spoke in parables, we have to understand that he's trying to compare two things and draw some similarities between the two, make us think deeper about them, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So I want to kind of share, like, I love when people compare things to make things, maybe we look at things a different way and understand things. So, Matthew, I think I have a video. Is there a video there? Thank you. Louis Giglio has a video where he talks about if the earth was the size of a golf ball, like, what would that mean to us? So, anyway, can you run that, see if it runs for me?
So here's a little perspective that sort of changed my life. If the earth were the size of a golf ball, okay, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. Okay, that didn't seem to move anybody either, so let me try it a different way. Let me just try it just a different way. I thought I might need this, so I brought a golf ball, okay? So all through the evening, this is going to represent earth, all right? So this is where we are. I need everybody in the building to look as closely as you can and find yourself, okay? And when you found yourself, I want you to nod your head so that I know you've located you on the earth, okay? You're nodding your head? Okay, you found yourself. If the earth were a golf ball, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. That's not 15 feet in diameter. Can we blow that up just a hair and maybe give them 15 feet in diameter? So here's a little perspective for you, okay? Is this working for anybody? Here we are on the earth, and that's the sun. It's so big, you could put 960,000 Earths inside the sun. So if the Earth were a golf ball and the sun were 15 feet in diameter, you could put 960,000 golf balls inside that 15-foot diameter sun. That's enough golf balls, by the way, because I know that seems like a big number, to fill a school bus with golf balls could fit inside the 15-foot in diameter sun. It's a massive star, and it's one of hundreds of billions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy, our cul-de-sac in the neighborhood called the cosmos that God has made. It's huge, and we're worshiping a star-breathing God tonight. But I want to tell you about the second star, okay? Because the second star absolutely wrecked my life. I heard about it when I was a high school student here in Atlanta. One of our youth leaders did a talk, and he mentioned this star. I didn't know how to talk to God for about 2 months after I heard about this star. It's called Betelgeuse or Betelgeuse. You can pick your pronunciation. I'm obviously going with Betelgeuse. And Betelgeuse is incredible. Here it is in the night sky. I know it doesn't look incredibly ferocious, but it's 427 light years away. So that's 427 times 5.88 trillion miles away from us right now. Draw it in a little closer with the Hubble Space Telescope, and you can start to get a little bit of the feeling of its intensity. But this is the crazy thing about Betelgeuse. Are you ready for this? Betelgeuse is twice the size. Are you ready? You think I'm going to say twice the size of the sun? Oh, no. It's twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun, Betelgeuse is. It's crazy. If the earth were a golf ball, Betelgeuse would be the height of six Empire State Buildings on top of each other. Now, come on. Have you seen the Empire State Building? I mean, maybe what you're going to need to do is gather the family, get a golf ball, get some plane tickets, and fly up to New York. And you're going to go into Midtown. You're going to take your golf ball and put it on the sidewalk outside the Empire State Building. Don't worry about people thinking you're crazy. They're not even going to notice you in New York. You're going to go across the street. You're going to look up at the Empire State Building and imagine five more Empire State Buildings on top of the Empire State Building. That's Betelgeuse, and that's the Earth, and somewhere you're on it.
And somewhere you're on it. Isn't that crazy? Doesn't it, like, blow your mind when you start to think and understand, like, by comparison, things. So that's my introduction to kind of show you when Jesus speaks in parables, he's trying to compare two things so that we would think about it differently, so that we would begin to wrap our mind around it differently. We'll see that he tells parables so that we just don't, like, give up, that we actually start thinking and ruminating on these concepts and really kind of diving into them. But anyway, go ahead. Go to the next one for me. Like I said, he loved to tell parables, but his parables, he wasn't comparing like stars and cosmos. He was comparing an earthly story that had a heavenly meaning. So he would share something on earth that we're all familiar with. The last week we looked at soil, and he would compare it with something that has a heavenly concept so that we would begin to kind of wrap our heads around. So go ahead, go to the next one. We're doing this old school. My TV's not working. So we're doing this old school. We're like back in 2016. So I have no idea what's coming next. So hang out with me. So I'm not as like polished as I normally am. Anyway, but why would he do this? Why would he do this? Because he wanted you to understand a couple things. Go to my next slide for me. He told them, the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside of everything is said in parables. So that is Jesus' why. So I think this is Mark 3, going up in verse 11. So that they may ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Now, the crowd in which Jesus is talking to, he's talking to many people who didn't like what he said. Many of them gravitated to maybe his healing. But he told parables so that people would, number one, they were easy to remember. Many of us who've ever told a joke can tell a joke because it's in the form of a story, and we can tell stories. Like I said, all of you can probably tell me the story of the boy who cried wolf because it's in a story form. You can, oh, well, you know, there was a boy. You can tell me. But if I were to tell you, well, give me, you know, do you remember how to find X in the order of operations? Like, you know, you'd be like, I don't remember, right? Because it's easy to remember. And so Jesus told it. And so that way, they didn't have iPhones, so they couldn't record what Jesus was saying. So they had to go back home and retell the story and what Jesus was saying. Well, he said it was like a seed, you know, so they were something easy to remember. But he was also doing this so that people would start thinking and perceiving. And some people just said, well, I'm not getting it, and I'm done with it. Other people said, there has to be something in there. And they were diving in, and they were checking it out, and they were actually absorbing what Jesus was saying. Go ahead, go to the next one. And so last week we looked at the parable of the soil. If you remember, we looked at different types of soil. We looked at good soil, rocky soil. We looked at no soil, where the seed got snatched up before it even had a chance to hit the soil. And so as we continue, Jesus is going to tell three more parables that we're going to look at today, and we're going to be able to work through those a little bit. And they're all drawing comparisons to the kingdom of God. So if you have your Bible, jump with me into verse 21. We're going to be looking at the parable. We're going to be at the parable of the lamp, the parable of the growing seed, and of course the parable of the mustard seed. So we're going to be looking at all those. So if you have your Bible, turn in page 21. Hey, Mathen, do me a favor. There's a green backpack back there somewhere. In there is going to be a little baggie with some, that's what I want, right there. Thank you. I'm going to need those for a little bit later on. Thank you. Okay. Anyway, let's get into it. Verse 21. He said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Carefully consider what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. So good. Go to my next slide for me, Sam. That'd be great. Now, Jesus was the master at using everyday life to teach kingdom principles. And so he chose a lamp to kind of illustrate what he wanted to talk about. And so many of you probably think, when he talks about a lamp, or looking at something like this, right? Like a lantern or something like this. This is probably what you think. Jesus, pretty cool, right? Some of you, I want that in my house. So, like this is probably what you think Jesus was talking about, but it's not. Sorry, these didn't exist. So this is not what Jesus is thinking about. So get that out of your head. In fact, what Jesus was talking about actually looked like this. So I don't know if you can see. I'm going to have to see if I can zoom in on my people on Facebook here. No, just stay. You stay there. Okay, so this is what I'm looking at right here. It's a little oil lamp. So it's got oil in it. It's made of clay. And we're going to see if I don't burn. Do we have any firefighters here today? We do. I got at least two. I see two that are here. Okay. Me. I don't know if Matt or Jason agree with that assessment. So let me see. Let's see if I can do this. I gotta see if I can get my wick here going up here a little bit. All right. So when he talked about a lamp, don't put it in there. All right. This is what he's talking about. A little lamp. Now, obviously, theirs would be a lot bigger. So let's see if I can tune this in. Thank you. So this is what he's talking about. Now, he said, what would you do with this lamp? Would you put it under your bed? Would any of you put this lamp under your bed? No. Why? You're going to catch your house on fire. So when he says, you're not just hiding it. It's unsafe to do it. It's silly. Right? Oh, there it went. Anyway, this little light of mine. I blew it out. Anyway, so I did. Anyway, always blame it on him. Or do you put it under a basket? Well, that makes no sense because, number one, you're not going to be able to see it. And number two, what's going to happen to it? It's going to go out. It's got no oxygen. So it makes no sense to do those things. So in a sense, he's saying, why would you buy something and not use it? Why would you buy? Has anybody ever bought something and you never, ever used it? Do I have anybody like that? That you bought something and it's just sitting there and you've never used it? And you think of every time you see it, you're like, why did I ever do that? What are we talking about? Anyway, moving on. Keep going. So keep going. Like he says, why would you bring it on a lamp? Why would you buy it and not put it under a bed? Instead, you would put it on a stand so that it would be used for the purpose that it was meant to do. Right? It's on a stand for a reason, that it would light up the entire home. Of course, not that little clay lamp, but it would be a lot bigger, and it would illuminate. That it would push back and reveal some things. And that's why when he's talking about whatever is hidden is disclosed, and whatever is disclosed will be revealed, he's talking about things being revealed. Go ahead, Matthew, for me. This is everything that this lamp is representing is called to be illuminating, right? Light in itself is revealing, period. By its very nature, light reveals things. It pushes back darkness. Darkness and light cannot stay in the same place. In fact, once light exists, darkness scatters. Like there is no darkness in light because light pushes back darkness. It's simple physics. Darkness is the absence of light. So where there is light, there's no darkness. Am I speaking scientific truth there, Mark, for the most part? I think so. I think that's pretty sound, right? Keep going. But we're touching a multitude of topics today. We are firefighters. We got scientists. We got everyone. But notice Jesus says, if anyone has here, I want you to understand this principle. That there is something that is illuminating. There is something that you have that shines a light. That reveals things that are hidden, reveals things that are dark, and it shines your light. And I need you to understand that. By when Jesus says, I want you to understand this, I'm pretty sure that we should be paying attention. Because Jesus says, I want you to get this principle. If you have ears, I want you to hear. Go ahead. Nothing. That there is something that is going to move, that there is something that is going to come, that is going to shine its light, that we're called to put forth, that everybody can see, that is going to push back darkness and that nothing will be hidden anymore. Now, I know that you've heard that we as Christians are called to be light bearers and torch bearers, and we are. But as Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, when he talks about the lamp, Jesus is talking about himself being the light. For I am the light of the world. I think I even keep going, Matthew. Go ahead. So keep going. I think I'm going to have it here. John 8. This is what he says. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. Jesus himself referred to himself as the light. And I'm the light of the world. And so all these people that are hearing, now remember, Jesus is sitting on the shores. He's in a small little boat, and the crowds are all around him, and there's so many people that they're pushing in on him that he needed some personal space. And he got into the boat, and now he's sharing this, and that there's Pharisees in there, there's strict Jewish people sitting there, and here he is coming and saying that he is the light of the world. And what he's saying is, you have an opportunity to choose what you're going to do with it. You can take it, and you can use it for what it's meant to do, to shine and cast the light all around you, and to allow that which is hidden to become a light, to allow the darkness of our hearts to actually be transformed into something which bears more light, like a torchbearer. Or we can hide it. We can put it under. We can take it and not use it for what it's meant to do. We can hide it. We can try to burn our house down with it. Right? Like, you can begin to use it in inappropriate ways or just not use it at all. Or be like the foolish person who bought something, who bought a lamp and was like, you know, I'm just not going to use it. Well, then why would you spend the money on it? Why would you go and so, I mean, this starts to beg the question, why would Jesus go through what he went through if we're not going to allow that light to shine through every aspect of our life? In our conversations at our dinner time, in conversations with our coworkers, to allow our love, the hope that we have, to be seen and visible by all those around us, that we have this amazing light that we carry, the light of Jesus, and to use it for what it was meant to be used for. But so often we don't, so often we hide it. It's not meant to be hidden. It's not, that's why I love sometimes that, you know, do you ever try to, like real early in the morning, you try to shine like a light, like you're trying not to wake up your spouse in the morning, and like you have this flashlight on, and like you're trying to hide it, but it's just so bright, it's still, you're like, oh, it's just that, you can't really hide it that well, no offense. Like, you can't hide light really well. It takes a lot to cover light. And so, like, stop trying to hide it, because you're pretty bad at it. Instead, use the light which is meant to do, to be revealed, so that people don't have to walk around with secrets anymore. Oh, if only they knew, or oh my gosh, I will never be forgiven. Oh my gosh, if they knew. To allow the light to reveal. Go ahead. There it is. That vacuum that you have sitting there, or whatever. That piece of software, whatever. Whatever it might be. Whatever it is that you bought and you have zero use for, that's just sitting there. That is a reminder. That's a reminder how foolish you feel about that product sitting there reminding you, slapping you in the face every day that I went and spent the money, good money, for nothing. It's the same reminder that Jesus died so that we could be bearers of that light and that we're called to put it on a stand. I'm not going to lift that up because I'm going to spill oil over myself and this would be a bad day. So, like, we're called to put it on a stand that it would shine. That's number one. What are you doing with the light that's been given, that's been entrusted to you? And that's the parable of the lamp. The good news is out there, and it's landed in our hearts, and we're called to shine it, and we're supposed to use it for what it was meant to be used for. Don't squander it. Don't waste it. Let it shine. Moving on. If you continue, he continues in the passage, saying, carefully consider what you hear. For the measure which you use, it will be measured to you. And even more, whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So as Jesus is beginning to talk about, he wants them to listen to all his teachings. Now, as he's going through this parable, he's already shared with them the parable of the soil, which is the good news coming and what's the soil is landing on. Now he's saying that the light has come, and what are you doing with the light? And so as they're hearing this, they're thinking about this. Some are saying, yeah, this is like, Do you hear this guy? This guy's nuts, right? Other people are saying, oh my gosh, this guy's got some good stuff, right? And what are you doing with it? And he says, like, depending on what you do with it, spiritual wisdom, and that's what this is about, like, you're either going to get more of it or you're going to get none of it, depending on how you, internalize the teachings that Jesus and the principles that Jesus is trying to teach through these parables, right? For those who sit and think and reflect and desire, like, it's going to soak in. For more will be added to you. But for those who say, you know, this is just hogwash, I'm done, I don't even know. Like the Pharisees of the day that heard Jesus speak and they're like, ugh. I mean, think about it. There were people who saw Jesus heal and they're like, nah, I'm good. Like that guy's nuts. Yeah, in fact, people are getting healed and they're like, why are you walking on the Sabbath? Are you out of your mind? Like the guy just walked for the first time in 38 years. And so as Jesus is speaking these parables, he's speaking to how they're going to use this information and how they're going to internalize this information and how they're going to be blessed if they receive it and if they reject it, what's going to happen. Go ahead, Matthew. Go forward. Or Sam, sorry. He talked about the soil. He talks, keep going. He's going to talk about the lamp. He's going to talk about the seed. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. It's about how much you put into these teachings, how much you internalize into these teachings. Do we just reject them as a funny story that Jesus told, or do they have meaning for our lives? And Jesus says, by what you know and how you act upon them, like that will be the measure by which you are received by others and how God begins to use you and craft you and hone you and bless you with even more spiritual wisdom. Are you hungry for the teachings of God, or are you just like, I'm good? And that's what Jesus means as he started to do this. Keep going. Some turn away, some dove in, some just flat out rejected. Keep going. So, now, with that in mind, he spoke about the lamp, and now he talks about a seed. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like, a man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel, and in the head, and as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now, like Jesus is teaching, like he's just like going boom, boom, boom. He's going on to these multiple teachings. So he says, okay, here's a lamp, and it reflects the light. Here's a seed. Now, he already talked about a seed in the beginning of the chapter as he talks about the different soils. But now he takes it again. By the way, notice he's using parables from everyday life, though not many of us are farmers here today. I don't think any of us can... not many of us have a hard time picturing like this idea of a seed going into the ground and growing up as well. But here Jesus uses a seed or an agricultural emphasis again to talk about a spiritual concept of God's anointing work in the lives of those around us and how God actually uses that to bring about a manifestation and a transformation in our hearts. Now this deals with a different topic. This deals with something a little bit different. He talks about spiritual growth. Go ahead. Now, notice that he says that this is the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of God is like. You have a man that scatters seeds on the ground. And keep going for me. Go one more. And notice all by itself, go back. All by itself, it produces grain. There are people in our lives that we have shared the good news with. There are people so some of my people in here who are like my evangelists have a tendency to struggle with this. That there are people in our lives that we want to see come to know the Lord, but we almost want to shake them. Like, don't you understand what this means for you? Don't you understand how much I care about you and I want to see you in the kingdom of heaven? Don't you understand that this Jesus wants to save you? Don't you understand that he wants to forgive you? Don't you, like, there are people in our lives that we just want to, force them to know the good news of Jesus. But that's not how it works. You can't force anybody into the kingdom of God. That's why Paul later in the New Testament says, you water the seed, and the Spirit is what allows it to grow. And as Jesus is speaking with this parable, what he's saying is, you water the seed, but you're not responsible for the photosynthesis that takes place. Like, however many here have ever turned on the photosynthesis inside of a plant? Anybody? Are you that good? If you are, I mean, let me know, because that'd be awesome. But I can't do it. And so when it comes to spiritual matters, what we're called to do as Christians is to scatter that seed, share the good news. But at that point, we still invest, but it's not your responsibility for somebody else's spiritual growth. Some of us need to hear that today, because we're just, oh my gosh, if only I try harder, or if only I have the right words to say, or, oh man, if I could just persuade them into the... That's not how this works. Now, our Christian witness should be by the light that we bear. We should be shining light on others so that they could see and experience the goodness. But take some weight off your shoulders for a minute and know that it's not about how good you are at it. You don't have to be that persuasive. You scatter the seed and let the Holy Spirit do its work. It's on the work of the person to be able to receive and submit to the power of the Holy Spirit that's going on in their life to bring about transformation. Now, speaking of transformation, notice that when Jesus speaks this parable, he talks about the Spirit of God going and transforming people, that it's not really on us, that it's the work of the Spirit. But he noted, he look what he says. There are different life cycles to this plant, right? There's the kernel, and then there's like a stem, and then like the head of the grain. Right? Go ahead, Matthew. I think I have some pictures here. Or Sam, sorry, it's Sam. So, by the way, keep going. Now, when we're talking about wheat, notice, does that last picture look anything like the first picture? I mean, yeah, maybe you can see the seed or the kernel in there, right? But for the most part, that stalk of wheat is going to be what, like maybe 2.5 feet high? Maybe like, I don't know, 24 inches, something like that, right? Maybe even more, maybe up more like 3. The seed's going to be this big. Even the sprout, the sprout looks kind of like the seed, but it's starting to transform at this point. And then here it is. It starts to look like the end product, but it's not the right color, and it's still got water flowing, and it's not ready to be harvested and turned into flour yet. So it's true about us. When Jesus gives this parable, we're not off the hook on this one, by the way. We're like, oh, good, I don't have to worry about anybody else's spiritual transformation but your own, right? So when the Holy Spirit comes to you, what Jesus is saying, that there should be a work of transformation that's taking place in your heart, that you don't look like what you looked like in the past. That is something that we call sanctification. I use that word a lot. It just makes me sound smart. And I'm not smart. Like, what it means is that you are being transformed every day to look a lot like Jesus. We call that personal sanctification or progressive sanctification. That every day, as the Holy Spirit's doing his work, by the way, you can't force that on anybody else but who? You. That Jesus is doing a work to make you transform. That you don't look, as you are maturing, as you're growing, you don't struggle with the same old habits and patterns that you have in your life. And so this is what we're called to do. So the question is, like, where are we in that process? Are we just starting out? By the way, this right here, we're not here yet. Not yet. Well, maybe some of us are to bear fruit. But the ultimate transformation takes place in heaven, by the way, when we look like Jesus. But man, he desires us to continue to grow and bear those fruits. Maybe they're a little unripe, but we're called to do it anyway. So today is about transformation. This parable is about your personal transformation, that God, he isn't settled with just us hanging back being like, yeah, I got some sprouts, but we'll leave it at that. Hey, let's keep going. I want more. I have more work to do in your life. Like let's get over here. Let's start growing a bit. Let's start to transform from there to like become more mature. Like, let's keep going. And so this parable, as Jesus shares, we have to know that when he says, hey, here's the process. It's going to start as a sprout. It's then going to turn into this green stalk. And then ultimately, it's going to bear some fruit. And so the question is that Jesus is speaking to us. Are we just settled with where we are? Or are we desiring to keep on growing? So this morning, the two things that I see there is, number one, we aren't responsible for other people's spiritual growth other than our own. And if we're stagnant in our own spiritual growth, well, today's the day that we can begin to make a decision to draw close, to say, you know, this parable has something for me today. Maybe I should start giving these sin struggles, this empty pattern, this habitual pattern in my life over to you. Maybe I should start giving away some of those worries and those fears. Like, it's like God is doing a work here today. And so leave here today just desiring to be transformed to the work that Jesus already wants to do in and through you. All right, continue. We can go to the next one. Lastly, Jesus says, again, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Notice he's talking about the kingdom of God. By the way, let me pause there for a moment. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's talking about God's presence here as God is moving, where God's Holy Spirit is beginning to move in and through, right? And he says, listen, God is at work. By the way, the kingdom will be here in its fullness when Jesus returns. But here in his absence, we are called to be carrying, torchbearer, carrying that light into the world. And that's the way he says, what is the kingdom of God like? Well, it's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of the seeds on earth. Yet when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that birds can perch in its shade. So, by the way, I have some mustard seed here. I'm going to give you, you can take this on the way out here, by the way. But, like, here, this is it right here. You can, so I'm going to have to, there's a little dot. You see the little dot in there? See the little dot in there? That's your mustard seed. Those little dots, what those are. Those right out of my kitchen, by the way. That's courtesy of Tab's pantry, which I stole, by the way. She has no idea. So, by the way, if you're looking for mustard seed, I ruined it. Anyway, but, like, this is what we're called to do. By the way, before you get all technical, it is not the smallest seed on the actual planet. Jesus is speaking in a sense of hyperbole, right? But it is one of the smallest seeds that they would use in their garden at the time. So this small seed, by the way, and if left alone by itself, could transform itself into a tree, actually. We call it a mustard plant. It can turn into a mustard tree, by the way. Can you believe this little thing. By the way, 2 millimeters wide, by the way. 2 millimeters wide. Take a look at this. Let's put it in maybe a little bit different perspective. I think I have another one. Go ahead, Matthew. Or Sam. Sorry, whoever's back there. Stop. I want to pause there for a second. God loves to do this stuff. I don't know if you know this or not. God loves to take that which is small and make it something bigger. It's like his jam. Like, he turns up the radio when he gets a chance to do this all the time, right? Like, he's just like, yeah, right? Because look, he turned a boy into a giant killer, right? A murderer into a tremendous leader, right? He took a feeding trough baby into the King of Kings. Like, God loves an underdog story. So do we. All you Philadelphians. Right? Okay. Like, for Pete's sake. Unbelievable. Come on. Really? Draco, I must break you. Like, come on. Anyway, moving on. Like, God loves to do this. As Philadelphians, by location almost, like, you should be all about this, because, like, you guys have an unhealthy obsession with Rocky. So, like, you guys need to understand this. So, like, continue on. Look at this. Look at this wonderful illustration. Has anybody seen General Sherman, the tree? Is it really that awesome? It's pretty cool, right? General Sherman is the largest single-stem plant on the planet. By volume, thank you. By the way, Mark was going to fact-check me, just so you know. Thanks for putting that up. Like, it is ginormous, and look, look how it started. That's what it started as. That little thing right there turned into that. By the way, a tree branch fell, a branch fell off of General Sherman back in 2011 or something. A tree fell off the tree, like a branch fell, and it was so big they needed excavators to move the branch because it was an entire tree that fell off this thing. It is massive. What's the location? Where's that? Sequoia. Where's Sequoia? California, Central Cal. It's a God love. By the way, that tree. was a sapling when Jesus was crucified. It's just about 2,000 plus years old. So it's just a very small tree around the time that Jesus was being born and crucified. That's how old that tree is. Pretty cool. Keep moving on. So look, he says it's planted, it grows. So when we talk about the seed, Jesus is saying, and by the way, he's going to use our faith as an example in another parable. He says the faith the size of a what? Can do what? Move mountains. Faith the size of mustard seed can move a mountain. See, this morning, it's not about this, like, oh, I got to get this right today. I've told you, I'm not a fan of do better sermons. Hey, you got to leave here doing better. No. Matt York, I desire you leave here desiring more. I desire more for my life. I desire more for my marriage. I desire something grander, something better, something more deeper impact in my life. It's not about doing better. That's like apostasy. Like I should never preach that. And if a preacher does preach that, you should have like pull him aside. Be like, why are you like? When did Jesus ever say do better? Jesus says desire more, of me, and watch what happens. So this little seed represents our desire to see Jesus transform us today. Hey, there are things in my life that I want to change this morning. And look what he says. Go back real quick. Look what he says. It's the largest of all the garden plants. It becomes the largest. It's one of the smallest seeds, and it's so big. By the way, the birds, people get so crazy about these birds. Oh, the birds reflect. No. A bird sometimes in a parable is, you know what? A bird. Exactly. Thank you, Mark. He's saying that this bird, that birds can actually come and land on. Someday, this can actually provide shade, shelter, and a place to rest for some little tweety bird. That's what it is. All because it was planted. This little thing was planted. It looks nothing like what it can be 30 years from now, 20 years from now. So today is a day where we looked at lamps, we've looked at seed, we looked at kernels and the growth of plants, and it's our desire to change here today. If it's your desire to say, I want more, all you really need is one of these little bad boys. And if you have a lot more, that's awesome. You're like, you know what? Yeah, maybe I'm like a green bell pepper onion seed today. You know, whatever that might be. Today's the day about desiring more. Go ahead, keep going. Now, go back real quick. I gotta see that slide real quick. He's talking about the kingdom of God, what God wants to do in your life. Keep going. One more. What Jesus is talking about, that little kingdom of God principle, how God wants to move, is going to start in a small corner of Israel, and it's going to grow into a global movement. And it starts with a couple of guys who have, you know, they didn't really understand what was going on. Like, they thought it was going to be something completely different. And the next thing they know, they changed the world. All because they had this desire to fall in love with this amazing teacher who is going to guide and lead them to where they go next. And that same Jesus is the one that we fell in love with this morning. Or 30 years ago, or however long ago that was for you. Thank you. Three things that I just want you to take away this morning from these parables: radiant light in our lamp, transformation, or Jesus' desire to transform your life, by the way, and expanding growth that will come as a desire to change. So, it's your desire today to see any of those happen. Jesus was speaking to you this morning. You know what? I need to be that bearer of that light, of that good news. I've been hiding it for too long. Ha! It's time to remove that basket. Right? Maybe today you want to move that ball down the field. Like, I want to change, I want to transform. I don't want to wrestle with the things that I've been struggling with for so long. I want to begin to change. Well, guess what? That's available for you today. And what Jesus says is it can start with something as small as this little seed. Speaking of which, Matthew, will you take these back to the back? If you want a reminder, maybe put in your Bible or whatever, You can take one of those little bags with some mustard seed in it. They're going to be back there by the computer. Just take them on the way out. For those tuning online, you can send a check or mail order to 117 Nevin Drive. We'll get those to you. Or you can just go buy yourself some mustard seed, too. So today's the day. If you have anywhere near an inkling of this little bit amount of faith, Jesus has the opportunity to do an amazing work in your life. If you want to transform, if you want to be a radiant light torchbearer, if you just want to see, be expectant for what God wants to do, it doesn't take much. And God says, man, I will take that and I will move it down the road. But it's about your desire. Not for anybody else. This isn't, I'm not preaching this sermon for your husband. I'm not preaching this sermon for your kids. I'm not preaching this sermon for anybody other than you this morning. So you walked in here. Jesus wanted you to hear this. So where is God moving in you today? Let that just sit for about 10 seconds in awkward silence. Got it? Let's go before him now. Let's pray. Lord, there is an opportunity that is wide open today for us to engage with these parables. Lord, I didn't even do justice to what I could all dig that people from past have dug from these parables beyond. But today is a day that maybe we're just walking away from the fact that six Empire State Buildings is the size of Beetlejuice. It doesn't matter. Lord, today's a day where we're going to be impacted by you. So, Lord, with our mustard seeds, Lord, our watermelon seeds, our whatever size seeds of faith that we're going to take here today and our desire to see you change, Lord, we're going to give you some things. Maybe it's our desire to change behavior patterns in our life that need to end today because they're destructive. Maybe it's ways of thinking that are no good, that are absolutely detrimental. Maybe it's a desire to see you once and for all rid us of whatever that might be, our anger, our pain, our resentment, whatever. Lord, we have mustard-sized faith to say, I want to look different tomorrow and the days going forth because I want to look like you. So guide and lead my friends here today. Guide and lead me today as we sojourn with you every day. Guide and lead us in this truth. Thank you, Jesus, for the reminder and the opportunity to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.